One year ago, I launched a campaign calling on people and governments the world over to unite to end violence against women and girls. We called it Unite to End Violence Against Women, and Unite We Must. It is sometimes said that women are weavers and men are too often warriors. Women bear and care for our children. In much of the world, they plant the crops that feed us. In fact, they weave the fabric of our society. Violence against women is thus an attack on all of us, on the foundation of our civilization. It destroys health and perpetuates poverty. It strikes against equality and empowerment. It contributes to the spread of HIV/AIDS and other diseases. Worldwide, 1 in 5 women suffer rape or attempted rape. In some countries, as many as 1 in 3 women are beaten, coerced into sex, or otherwise abused. This is alarming and shocking. This must stop. Excellencies, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, I have just returned from the Democratic Republic of the Congo. There I visited the Health Africa Hospital in Goma. As you know, this sexual violence and abuse is prevalent all throughout the country. I met a young woman there in the hospital. She was just 18 years old. I'm not going to mention her name because of confidentiality. Fleeing the fighting that destroyed her village, she was raped by 4 soldiers at gunpoint. Doctors at the hospital can repair her wounds, but can even doctors heal her soul? She suffers not only from physical injury, she also bears the curse of stigma. She has been ostracized from her village and her family from a false sense of so-called shame, shame to her family. I was shocked by what she told me. I was saddened almost beyond expression. I was also very, very angry. These women need medical care. They need to be accepted back into their communities and families. Above all, they need to be able to live free of fear. I spoke forcefully about this when I met President Kabila of DRC. I spoke to the commander of the Congolese forces in the eastern DRC, as well as with the governor and the local authorities. I spoke about it to everyone I met, and I will keep speaking out against such unspeakable atrocities. When I was meeting President Kabila, the fact is that 80% of these sexual violences are perpetrated by the other armed groups of rebels. But I told President Kabila, that doesn't make any excuse. As a leader of that country, a sovereign leader of a sovereign country, whatever, wherever this sexual violence may happen, then he must be responsible as a leader of the country. Ladies and gentlemen, violence against women is an abomination. I would like to call it crime against humanity. It stands against everything in the United Nations Charter. The consequences of violence go beyond the visible and immediate. Death, injury, medical cost, and lost employment are but the tip of an iceberg. The impact on women and girls, their families, their communities, and their societies in terms of shattered lives and livelihoods is beyond calculation. Far too often, these crimes go unpunished. Perpetrators walk free. No country, no culture, no woman, young gold is immune. Women have been speaking out against the violence and supporting each other in opposing it for a long time. Often they have found the voice through the work of the United Nations system. Increasingly, men are speaking out.